With the help of God, this blessed morning hour, I would like to read from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter number 22, let's read first 19 verses. Book of Genesis, chapter number 22, 19 verses. Ljubazni Gospodu, na hvalu, čast i slavu, želim da se nađe iz prve knjige Mojsijeve, glava 22, prvih 19 stihova. Prva knjiga Mojsijeva, 22 glava. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Abraham, the father of faith, father of a multitude, God's friend forever, was a prime example of faith. He trusted God, had great, great confidence in him. And I hope and pray that we can learn and have the same faith and confidence and trust in God, our Heavenly Father. Going back a little bit about Abraham, he was born in a family of a father that was a believer, but his father did not believe in the true and living God. He was an idol worshiper. The wrong faith, wrong belief. And yet Abraham became the father of faith, the true faith. When God appeared unto Abraham, he says that he was 75 years old when he made a covenant with him, and he promised Abraham that he will make a great, great nation from him. Did Abraham understand what God was telling him? He accepted it, but he couldn't quite understand. He had no children. How will he be a father of multitude when he has no children of his own? He was old, his wife was old, she was not able, even when she was younger, she was not able to bear children. In today's world, people would say, it's not possible. But definitely it's not possible. And yet with God, all things are possible. Everything is possible if we believe and trust in him. So he believed. Even though he did say, well, one of the servants that is born in my house will be the one that will inherit everything. He will be the heir. No, God says, no, not one of your servants, but from you. Okay, so Abraham believed. He didn't quite understand, but he believed. And it was imputed unto him, it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's where he says that he became God's friend and was his friend forever. Then he appears unto him many, many years later. It tells him the following year, when he was 99, the following year he will have a son, and his wife will bear a son. So we know the story of Sarah, the princess, what her name meant. She laughed. She knew, as humans think, and as we know, anyone at that age cannot bear children, especially her being barren. So she laughed. She heard, she was the next door in the tent, and she heard when the angel came and told Abraham that they will have a son next year. She laughed. So the angel admonished her. He told her, is anything impossible with God? Why did she laugh? And then she denied. She lied. She said, I did not laugh. Of course, the last word from the angel of the Lord was, yes, you did. And that's the reason her son's name was called Isaac, which means laughter. But Abraham, again, with his great faith, believed and knew that everything was possible in God's power. So the son was born, and getting to this chapter that we read, I'm not really sure how old Isaac was at this time, perhaps 30-something. So here's God appearing to him. He says, he calls him Abraham, and as servant of God, he answers, here I am. Very similar as when Samuel was called. And that's what we should say too when we get called to do a certain task from God, to answer, I am here as thy servant. What do you want me to do? So here is God telling, giving him a commandment, not asking him. He says, take now thy son. Now notice how he says, thy only son whom thou lovest, to make it a little harder for Abraham. Your only son that I promised that you will have in the old age, he will be the heir of the holy great nation. Take him whom you love and take him to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, when we read verse 3, it kind of sounds like it wasn't a problem. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men, like it was a regular thing to do. That's the way it's written. But we all know that it wasn't just like that. It couldn't have been. Your only son, even if you had more children, it doesn't matter. Take your son that I promised that you will have and offer him there on the Mount Moriah. Now, the Mount Moriah, where he tried to offer his son, 1,000 years later, the temple in Jerusalem was built on that very mountain, 1,000 years later. So he rose up early in the morning and he got ready, got wood, a knife for burnt offering. And the third day, they were traveling for 3 days. Can you imagine what went through his mind for those 3 days as he was taking Isaac to sacrifice him? Now, God asked him that. He did not think, well, he might change his mind. He's not going to allow me to sacrifice him. He did not know. God asked him. He was obedient. That's the key word here, obedient to God's commandment. But he still walked with faith. So he lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from far away. So he tells his young men, very interesting in this verse number 5, he says, abide ye here, stay here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come back to you again. So here he is, he's asked to sacrifice his son. That would mean he will come back by himself. And yet he has such a strong faith, he's saying, and we will go and worship and come back to you again. Even though he has such a great faith, God did not promise him, you actually will not sacrifice him. So he did not know, but he had faith. That's the true faith, when you do not know and yet you believe. If you knew, then you wouldn't have to have faith because you know. So he took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it. Now here's another interesting thing, that he laid it upon Isaac to carry his own wood. You know, this story here is foreshadowing another father-son sacrifice, Jesus Christ. The difference is, when Abraham tried to sacrifice or kill his son, the angel of the Lord stopped him. When the Roman soldiers nailed the nails in Jesus, there was no angel to stop him. If there was an angel to stop him, he would not be here today. There would be no salvation. So we should be thankful that there was no angel to stop the Roman soldier. Since Jesus died, we have salvation. But the angels did appear there a Sunday morning to be with him when he arose. So he laid the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac, and they went up together to the place. Now Isaac, having the understanding and knowing about burnt offerings, he knew, because his father offered the sacrifices to God many times. He says he was a little bit confused. He says here, first he called him. He said, well, here's the wood, here's the fire. Something is missing. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham wasn't able to tell him, well, you are the one. He just said he trusted in God. He says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. The spotless, pure lamb for a sacrifice, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they went, both of them together. So when they came up to the place, again, we could just imagine what went through his mind, the pain, the sorrow, the agony. So he put the wood on the altar and laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son. Now his son, I'm not really sure, he doesn't say what went through his mind, how he felt, what was going on. His father, who loves him, is putting him on the altar to sacrifice him. He did not fight, kind of like Jesus when he was crucified. He did not fight. He did not call angels for help. So he was bound on the altar, and Abraham stretched forth his hand. He was ready to do what? Harm? No. He was ready to do God's will. We read in Hebrews about Abraham, well, many places, Hebrews and also James write about him. They said that he believed that God was able to raise him from dead. Now, where did he get that idea that God was able to? Did anyone raise from dead at this time, until this time? Nobody. Anyone that died was done for, earthly speaking. So you have to have a strong faith to believe something you have never seen before. If there was someone that rose from the dead, then it's a little bit easier to believe, well, he was dead and he is alive now, so maybe, but he believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. He has such a strong faith. But he did not know what God will do. So he stretched forth his hand, and he was ready to slay his son. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called unto him from heaven, said, "Abraham, Abraham," again, "I am here." He stopped him right before the very act. He says, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know," even though God knew that he was faithful man, but this was a test for him and for all of us. You know, this happened many, many thousands of years ago, and yet we still speak about it. It's a great, great example for all of us, what kind of a faith we need to have, and full confidence in trusting God. He says, "Now I know that thou fearest God, you have the respect and honor for God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son." You know, in this chapter 22, three times God says, "thine only son." In New Testament, it's written everywhere, God's only son, whom he loves. So it was truly a foreshadow of things to come. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and he saw behind him ram, was caught in a thicket by his horns, and he took that the ram, and he offered him for a sacrifice instead of his son. God made a covenant with Abraham, a promise, and that was fulfilled. He told them that, "Look at the stars in heaven, if you can count them all. Look at the sand on the seashore. Can anyone count the sand or the stars? It's a great, great number, great multitude." And he told them, "That's how great of a nation will come from thee, from him." And the one son that he had, here is God asking him to sacrifice him. It was truly, truly a great, great and strong, strong faith. So the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son," again, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." And he continues on, says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You notice how he says, in thy seed shall all the nations, not just the Israelites, not only the Hebrew people, all the nations. The New Testament speaks, it says that the salvation does not come only from Abraham's seed. Salvation comes from whole nation, all the nations. And we should be thankful and happy and glad that we have salvation, not only the Israelites, the Hebrew nation. But God is so kind, so merciful, full of grace, compassion, and pity towards us, that he wants everyone to be saved. We all know the well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only," again, "begotten Son, that who believes in him will not perish, will not be lost, will not die." Just like Isaac, he did not die. But we have everlasting, everlasting life. That's the true and living God, whom we also believe and trust. I hope and pray that we will continue to have the great love for him. As Hebrews writes, let the brotherly love continue. How can something continue if we do not have it? We must have it, then we can continue. So we need to have faith, we need to have love, hope. Those are the things that we need. Faith, hope, and charity. If we have all these things, which enemy can stop us from entering everlasting life? Can Satan, in all his power that he has, can he prevent us from getting into those heavenly mansions which God has promised unto us if we abide faithful unto him? If we do not abide faithful, then we stopped ourselves. God does not stop anyone from entering. When Jesus was sacrificed, when he died, he opened the doors for the whole nation, whole earth, everyone to come in. That's what grace means. I know many people think, well, God is great and he's loving and we are saved by grace. That does not mean that automatically now we're all saved. All we have to do is just believe. Grace means God is allowing us to come to him, opening the doors of life. And in James, actually, I think it's James, when he speaks about the works without faith. James chapter 2. Apostle James writes, he said, "Thou believest that there is one God." This is verse 19. He said, "Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." So you can have faith, strong faith, but without works. So Abraham had faith, but he also had the works. The work was to sacrifice his son. Now, what Abraham almost did, God actually did. He sacrificed his son. What Abraham was willing to do, God actually did. And he says, verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." Let me read just one more verse. It speaks about Abraham again, about his faith. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and he was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." It's a beautiful name to be a friend of God, to be the son and a daughter of our Heavenly Father. There is no greater name than to be called the children of God. Even Apostle John speaks about the name that God has given unto us, to be his children. But we need to be obedient. We need to be obedient, and we need to obey all of his commandments. The word of God says, I'm not sure if it's just, probably, I think James speaks also. I'm not going to spend time now looking for it, but it says that if we obey God's will, he do all his commandments, but we fail in one, we are guilty of all. So we need to obey his commandments fully, completely, all of them, not just some of them, not just the ones that we can. These are a little bit easier, we can fulfill these, but the harder ones, we'll just wink it or try to get by them. So we need to obey his commandments completely. There was a man it's an Old Testament I'm not sure if I can find it real quickly. He was a king, and he says that he reigned, not sure how many years. Oh, here it is, 2 Kings. We'll read 3 verses, but I'll skip one just for a moment. This is in 2 Kings chapter 15. Amaziah, he said, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Skipping a verse, and he said, and the Lord smote the king so that he was leper unto the day of his death. He did everything according to the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done in the sight of the Lord, and yet the Lord smote the king so he was leper. Why? He did everything right. Why did God smite him with leprosy? Well, now when I read verse 4, it says, save that the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. So he did everything that was right except one thing. Except the high places were not removed. And the Lord smote him with leprosy. So you see that we need to obey God's commandment fully, completely. Is it easy? Perhaps not. Is it possible? Yes. With our own strength? No. Don't even try. I can't even try. I shouldn't try it. I should say it that way. But with God's help, it's very possible. Very possible. Will we fail? Sure we will. Abraham failed many times. He lied when he was in a different situation with the king about his wife, and he told his wife, Sarah, to lie for him 2 times. He was a man, human, like we all are. And we fail too. We fail a lot. That's why we pray a lot, and we should pray a lot for God to forgive us. In every prayer, when we pray, we need to ask God to forgive us all the mistakes, weaknesses, faults, things that we have done, whether in our thoughts, in our actions, or in our words. We fail many times before God. If someone's trying to be perfect, the Bible does say, be perfect, as I am perfect and holy. And we try, we need to try. Let's never say, well, we are human, so we'll fail, so might as well fail. No, we need to try our best in trusting God and pray to God, keep in constant contact with God. And that's through the prayer. Prayer is very important. Without prayer, there's no connection. It's broken. There's no fellowship. There's nothing if we don't pray. And Abraham prayed too. We know the story of when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham said to God, he says, perhaps there will be 50 people that were righteous in that city. Will you destroy the whole city because of these 50 people? God said, I will not. But then Abraham realized, probably there was probably not 50 people in there were righteous. He knew that Sodom and Gomorrah was a wicked, very wicked city. So then he goes to 45. Will thou destroy the whole city if there were 45 righteous people? God said, no, I will not. But then he kept on going. He realized again. And interesting the way he, let me just try to find this. In chapter 18, this is what Abraham said about God. He said, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge, the true judge of all the earth, do right? He wasn't questioning him. He was just making a statement. That God will not do that. So he kept on going from 50 to 45 to 30 to 20 and finally down to 10. And even for 10, I'm not really sure how many people lived in that Sodom and Gomorrah Valley, but they were very, very wicked. And he said, perhaps or peradventure, there shall be 10 people found in there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And that was the end of the conversation. There was not even 10 people that were righteous in that city in that day. And we know the story. God destroyed the wickedness in that city. Very beautiful examples in the Old Testament and New Testament, especially where we have salvation that we need to read and meditate. And God will give us the wisdom. He will give us the understanding that we need. The discernment to know what is right, what is wrong, to understand His will. In order to understand His will, we have to ask Him what His will is, what we need to do. We should always be ready as Abraham when we get called. Here I am at your service to do whatever God wants us to do. Many times we don't understand why God wants us to do certain things, kind of like with Abraham. It did not make sense to him. It would not make sense to us. As we are reading it, we would not know the end of it. We would say, it does not make any sense. He promised him a son. Now he has a son. Now he wants to take the son away. How does that make sense? In our minds, it doesn't. But if we trust in God, because he knows, he's the one that created us and formed us. If we trust in God, it will be well with us. To God, through a living and merciful and righteous judge, the Heavenly Father, may be all the glory, honor, and praise now and forever. Amen.
Account of Abraham and Isaac and God's provision this morning. I don't think we can help but see the parallels to Jesus Christ and that foreshadowing of his sacrifice. The need for faith and confidence in God when we face our struggles as well. And the story that we've read was very cherished and beloved to the Jews as part of their history. And as we had a little bit of time to do some reading and just amazed at how this account was brought out so many times in the New Testament as well, to establish the faith and to encourage believers. In Acts chapter 3, which we had on Wednesday night, Peter reminded the Jews of this story and the blessing that would come through Christ. Paul also mentions it in Galatians chapter 3, Hebrews 11. Paul talks about this again in Romans chapter 4 and each and every one of the accounts of Christ's crucifixion show the fulfillment of what this passage was foreshadowing. It's for one and for all. The covenants of God. Through faith, that the promise of the Spirit might be given as it is opened to us. And God is desiring to to bring forth a covenant nation for his honor and his glory that involves each and every one of his children. He's given us an example of faith. We read in Romans chapter 4, to encourage our faith, that he, speaking of Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. May we reflect often upon the stories, because they are here for us that we would not lust after wicked things, and they are here that we might believe. May God bless his word to our hearts to that end. Amen.